Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, all eyes are turning to tomorrow night. The Blues will travel to what will be a very cold and confronting Christchurch to take on the defending champion Crusaders. It will be cold because of the temperature, but also confronting the Blues. The fact that they've mustered one of the last 17 attempts against the red and black machine. Stats don't lie. It's a bit different from back in the day when the Blues were a dominant force to be reckoned with and the Crusaders had to earn their stripes against the then champions. Our next guest knows that era very well. Tomorrow's game brings storylines galore with seedings on the ladder at play, interesting matchups across the park, including at second 5-8, where Harry Plummer has been selected ahead of Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, who misses the 23 altogether. Lee Stensness joins us this morning. He's a former All Black, of course, 50 games for the Blues, a lot of games for Auckland and Manawatu as well. All Black number 932, and it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Lee, good morning to you.
Kia ora, Ian. Thank you for having me on.
It is a big matchup tomorrow. Traditionally, Blues-Crusaders clashes back in your day as well were eagerly awaited.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We used to enjoy playing away probably more than at home because of the love that Canterbury has for Auckland down there. You can really feel the dislike as soon as you step off the plane, and the hostility of the crowd was always quite exciting and quite motivating. I don't think there's real sort of hatred from the players or anything, but you certainly felt it from the public down there, and that was always raise the excitement levels, that's for sure.
Lee, to this point, what have you made of the Blues class of 2023? Not quite at their best yet?
No, that's right. But with the format of the playoffs, etc., you probably don't have to be your best until the last three games. So hopefully they're building towards that. They haven't been very consistent, which might be in the back of the mind going into this game. I think that's probably the real weakness of the Blues side. They've got, you know, enough talent to match the Crusaders, but have they been putting it together enough to put together a performance tomorrow night that will be good enough to win? I'm not sure. So we'll see.
Bowden Barrett back to 10 against Richie Mwanga. Eagerly awaited matchup. Bowden's sort of been, he was back at 15 the other day, back to 10. How do you look like that, and what do you think about this matchup?
Well, deep within my heart, I believe they play Barrett and Zane Sullivan the wrong way round. I think Zane Sullivan should be the number 10 and Bowden Barrett should be at 15, but that's, the horse has bolted for that. I mean, that's maybe something for the future. Sullivan, I think, will become a great 10. He's got all the skills. He played great rugby at school at 10. But if we deal with the now, Barrett, he sees himself as a 15, and that, you know, a player of that mana carries a lot of sway. He wants to play at 10, so that's where he is. He probably hasn't been as consistent as he would like, so the pressure's on him. I think McKenzie's probably overtaken him in the hierarchy of 10s, with Mwanga still at number one. So I suspect tomorrow night, Mwanga loves playing against Auckland. He always delivers pretty much when he plays against the Blues. And I probably expect that again tomorrow night. I think that he might probably shade Barrett, unfortunately, from our point of view. But that's probably where I see it at the moment.
Okay, interestingly, also an area where you occupied a lot of your rugby career is the midfield area, where they've got Harry Plummer at 12 and can't find a spot at all for Roger Tuivasa-Sheck in the 23, which has raised a few eyebrows.
But if you look at Roger's form, it hasn't been particularly good. I think it was the game before last, he missed a couple of tackles which he should have made, and he really, it's probably it's the deserved selection in terms of form. Roger, he's struggled with his transition. We probably all have to acknowledge that COVID didn't really do him any favours, so he lost a lot of time bedding in and relearning the game from when he played at school. So he's probably been behind the eight ball pretty much the whole way, and maybe the experiment is over, perhaps.
Do you like Rico?
A solid,
do you like Rico at 13? Do you like Rico at 13?
I do for the Blues. I just wonder at test level, I would possibly prefer Anton Lennart-Brown in a big test match because of his real nous, especially on defence, and the way that he can put wingers away. Probably shades Rico in those two areas, but Rico is a wonderful athlete, and he's more consistent in terms of being able to be on the field all the time. We see with Anton Lennart-Brown, he seems to be injured pretty much most of the time, and it's a struggle for him to get a real body of work under, you know, consistent form. And so Rico delivers pretty much consistently, especially at Super Rugby level, and he's always on the field, and he has wonderful assets in terms of his physicality and his pace. It's just some of those subtleties he's still coming to terms with, but it took players like Umanga, you know, quite a long time to really learn the centre position with all its nuance and subtlety. So, yes, Rico, yes, definitely for the Blues. For the All Blacks, well, he's the best option if Anton Lennart-Brown can't string enough games together to prove that he could, you know, last the World Cup.
Right, okay, let's look at halfback as well, because Finlay Christie is in an interesting situation, confirmed in the Blues clearly, not so confirmed in the All Blacks, which all of a sudden there's a lot of drums beating for this Cam Roygaard out of the Hurricanes.
Yes, we went to Aaron Smith, the number one halfback, and he is extremely similar to Weber and Finlay Christie as well. So I think we all look at what DuPont does for France, how he runs and snipes around the edges, and we think, oh, that would be nice for us to have as well. And Roygaard, he offers that. He's physical. His pass is pretty good. I mean, it's not exceptional, but he can run around the fringes. And if the All Blacks want to play a game where we rely on power, which was when we played France 2 years ago, when we dominated them for a period of the second half in particular, we were playing direct and going around the edges and using power runners. And that's where Roygaard could possibly offer that more than perhaps the other two. Or, you know, I mean, Fakatava could offer that as well, but I think his form has slipped a bit. So perhaps Roygaard offers that. If he's going to be the three halfbacks going, then Aaron Smith and another who's similar to Aaron Smith, and then Roygaard offers you that point of difference who you can have that power and sniping around the edges of rucks and malls.
Interesting now, just looking forward to next year, we look at the fact that Lester Fainga-Nuku is heading to Toulon, and apparently the Blues are really going hard after Jack Goodhue, and it would be nice to see Jack Goodhue with a run of rugby in a position where he's not injured and just expressing his talent, because he's still certainly got to be a contender.
Oh, yes. If he came to the Blues next year, I would see him as a 12, and I perhaps, and this may go fly against some convention, is that I see him as a 12. I always have, rather than a 13. He does have the subtleties and the nuance that you need at 13, but especially after these injuries that he's had, he's really lost a bit of pace. And not that he was extreme pace even when before his injuries, but now he and I would worry about that at test level, defending in those outside channels where you need to have a lot of gas, as Ernie Curtin would say, to be able to cover the speedsters. And so I would like to see him become a 12 going forward, because he's a good decision maker, he's quite strong, and a very good defender, but just perhaps lacking that top pace that I think a centre should have. And he So that's, yeah, I would see him as a 12 going forward.
Okay, so Lee, how much of an influence or how important is a kicking game for a good 12 these days?
I don't think it's essential. I think that it's more of a power position now. I think that you need to be able to get over the advantage line, and I think you need to be able to defend really, really aggressively, and if you can kick, that's a bonus. I think that there's plenty of ways that the 10 and the 15 can sort of dictate the kicking. You can go behind the midfield back to your 15 who can then kick the corners. So it's a nice to have, I think, kicking at 12, but especially at well, if we when we play France or South Africa, or yeah, we need a power player at 12. I mean, Nonu, he was picked first for his power, and then he developed the kicking and some of the subtleties. I think that's the priority first. At 12, you need a real big bopper, and that's what Jordy Barrett can offer. He's a big boy, and that's, I think, Goodhue could do that in at 12 as well. And even someone like Levi Amor, he's a good, strong player, and you know, he could be an option there to maybe fill in at 12 because he can play 13 as well. I think it's easier to go from 13 into 12 rather than 12 out to 13, but that's another discussion. So, yeah, I think the kickings are nice to have at 12, but you want a big, powerful, imposing player in there.
So no Sam Whitelock and no Blackadder yet for the Crusaders. Are you confident then that the Blues can get at least parity up front against traditionally a very hard pack to knock down in Christchurch to let that back line have a crack?
With the absence of Whitelock, who is an all-time great, I think that evens it up, yeah, considerably. I think that when I read the sides yesterday, seeing Whitelock gave the Blues, well, me, from the Blues' point of view, some hope. Because he is such a great player and he loves the big games. So, yes, there's a chance they can get parity, but then again, the Crusaders' backline is almost as stacked as the Blues. I mean, there's X-factor in both sides, especially at the back. If the Blues can get enough ball to Talia and Clark, and get them involved, then they're, you know, the Blues could have a chance. And that's a challenge for Rico and a challenge for Bowden and the call of the shot callers, to be able to get those two involved, because Talia is just exceptional at the way he can beat the first tackle and the second tackle and sometimes the third tackle. And, of course, Clark, when he's involved, he can really have an impact on the game. But if they're not getting enough ball, I mean, what's the point of having Caleb Clark on the field if you're not going to give him the ball? Because he needs to be used a lot. And so it's about the Blues creating ways to use those two players enough, and that will give them, and Rico himself, because he's such an X-factor player as well. If they can get those three guys more involved and going hard and retaining the ball, then they've got a chance. But then on the same side, of the other side, I mean, Crusaders have got Mwanga, Jordan, and Fainga Nuku, and, you know, there's X-factor there as well. So there really are quite evenly balanced sides in terms of actual just individual talent, but I think the Crusaders have probably, you know, they got a little bit more belief in themselves. They're playing at home, and this is what they live for. You know what I mean? They want to play these big games, and I think they'll get into their playoff mode. It's been a long time building for them. They haven't really been as consistent as they would like as well, but they are sort of trending up now, and this is probably the game that they've been looking at, going, right, this is where we really, really start to play at that championship level again.
Lee, what has been so special, because the people are raving about the back line of the Chiefs and particularly the way they have been able to bring their very potent back three into pretty much every game this year. They're unbeaten. What has been so special for the Chiefs from the games you've seen them play?
Well, I think it's the, I don't know if this is the correct word, it's that maturation, the maturity that has come with Stevenson. He's gone from being like a Campese type player who could do the exceptional but make the odd mistake, which was to be sort of embarrassing, but not anymore. He doesn't make those mistakes. He's got all the flair and the skills without the error rate anymore, and I think that's a really big thing. McKenzie in there at 10, I think, just adding that zip and the spark. And Narewa as well. He's done some really exceptional things. So the step up from Stevenson, McKenzie coming back and really firing, and Narewa coming, well, just playing exceptionally as well. So there's some individuals there who are really, really, really delivering on the back of a solid forward pack as well, a really solid forward pack. They've been getting enough ball, but some of the things that they have done are right, just individual brilliance and brilliance from those players in particular. Combining, like you see a lot of Stevenson, I mean, McKenzie to Stevenson and vice versa, and, you know, those are two pretty dangerous players.
Lee Stenchness, fantastic to catch up with you. It's wonderful to hear your thoughts on the midfield, actually, and Zane Sullivan at 10. I like the thought of that going forward as well. Really cool. I've loved your input this morning. Have a terrific day. Enjoy tomorrow night. I think it'll be a cracker.
Yeah, I do too, and we miss you on the TV, Smithy, but that's the way it goes.